For the third Sunday in a row, the assigned lectionary gospel passage is from Mark 6. And just to set up today's passage, earlier on in this chapter, Jesus, it says in verse 7, called the 12, his disciples, and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. So the disciples have gone out to minister in nearby Galilee. And after that, we heard the story last week of the beheading of John the Baptist. And the disciples have just heard about this when they come back. And now in verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourself and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." And this is followed by then immediately the famous story of the feeding of the 5,000. Then when Jesus walks on water and calms the storm. And then we pick up in verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. How would you respond if someone were to ask, "How's your summer going?" I'd venture to guess that most all of us would not respond, "I have done nothing but rest. Everything has been so calm and slow, and I feel completely relaxed and refreshed." Yes, that's called fantasy fiction. And chances are really high that most of us do not get enough rest. And I'm not just talking about the amount of sleep we get. Webster's dictionary defines rest as freedom from activity or labor, to refrain from exertion, or to be free from anxiety or disturbance. So let me ask you this way. How often lately have you been free from all labor and activity and exertion? How often lately have you been free from all anxiety and disturbances? If you're like a lot of folks I know, you may not even remember the last time you felt fully rested. And the pace of our lives, for most of us at least, is stuck in high gear. And that's just as true for most of the retired folks I know as well. Yet, don't we all desperately crave just a few moments of peace and quiet, of genuine rest and renewal? Well, we're in good company. For we learn in today's gospel reading from Mark 6 that even Jesus and the disciples needed some downtime. Jesus tells his tired, hard-working disciples, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourself and rest a while." Some of you may remember that that was the theme of our all-church retreat back at Camp Lockridge in 2009. But what usually happens? Often, just as in this biblical story, when we finally do convince ourselves that we must get away and find some rest, the demands and interruptions in life seem to follow us. But just a few weeks ago, on the first Sunday in July, I preached on a story in Mark 5 of Jesus being interrupted by a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And as a result of Jesus' pausing to initiate a conversation and a relationship with a woman, the young daughter of Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, died. And though Jesus heals them both, we explored what it would be like in our own lives if we approached interruptions in our daily routines as possible moments of grace, of seeing interruptions as part of our work and ministry. So how's that going for you? In today's story, we learn that the disciples have just returned after Jesus sent them out in pairs to the surrounding countryside in Galilee to heal and teach and spread the good news. And upon their return, Jesus tells them that he would like to hear how things went and for them to share what they taught. We call that mission interpretation. And Jesus' pastoral response, like a good shepherd, is to call them away and to get some rest, because he knew that they were tired and had been too busy to even eat. Well, God also knows when we are tired and need rest. And added to that, the disciples were distraught because they had just learned of the beheading of John the Baptist, the story that we looked at last Sunday. So they also needed time to deal with their grief. And God knows when we need time to work through our grief. But after they all get in a boat and depart to a deserted place to get some rest, they see a large crowd following them along the shore. And in one of the most theologically important verses in the Bible, we're told that, quote, "As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." As Christians, as those who see the life and ministry and teachings of Jesus as the definitive revelation of the nature and character of God, we learn that compassion must be said to be of the very essence of the one who created us and before whom we live our lives. It is God's compassion for us and our resulting compassion for others that motivates us into deeds of service for those in need. For as it turns out, this biblical story, as I mentioned, moves directly from compassion into the feeding of those 5,000. So what's the answer? Well, to put it most simply, we must learn to balance labor and rest. A healthy body, mind, and spirit requires balancing your daily work and compassionate service for others with a very real experience of rest and renewal. And our own John Calvin, who helped invent the Protestant work ethic, wrote, "Work is good, but when we work all the time, work becomes a curse, not a blessing." Well, this, I believe, is where the church can help. For church should be so much more than just one more activity that fills our modern daily lives. And biblical commentator Karen Marie Yost suggests, if the church today is unrecognizable as a place of healing, then we need to reflect on what our mission and purpose is in the world, and how we communicate the good news of God's healing grace in this time and place. And she understands the need to find this necessary balance in life when she goes on to state, just as persons come to church in need of God's grace, the faith community engages in ministry because it needs to live as Christ has commanded, as the body of Christ sent into the world to help God repair the brokenness caused by sin. So how do we accomplish this? Well, Lynn Babb, in a web post entitled Gathering Voices, describes a healthy congregation as what she calls a holding environment, as in how a mother holds her child. She says that a holding environment is one that creates a safe and reliable physical space, fosters emotional growth, is secure but adaptive, exhibits care, honesty, and trust, and provides calming emotional support. In such an environment, a congregation like College Hill can nurture relationships in which we understand that we belong at one level to each other and are therefore responsible to care for and about each other. As a holding environment, a congregation like ours will also enable you to experience God as the one who holds. And when we're that kind of a community of faith, we become a place where people gather not simply out of a sense of duty and responsibility, two defining characteristics of Presbyterians, but also because we can find some rest and renewal, even as we're filled with the compassion that is necessary to engage in service to others. And instead of simply being one more thing to do on our weekly list of activities, let the church function as an alternative to the rapid pace of your daily life experience. So taking this hour or so to pause each week through music and prayer and scripture and sermon and fellowship and more music, it should nurture our faith. It should help us recenter our lives and hopefully bring a bit of peace and serenity back into our hectic everyday lives. Remember this biblical story. For when Jesus saw that his disciples had been running as fast as they could, he did not say, "Run faster." He said, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourself and rest a while." God gives us permission to do just that. Give yourself permission to do just that. And I will try to practice what I preach. Yet also remember that the purpose of this rest and renewal is to have the strength and the energy and the desire to reach out in compassion to others. And for you, that may mean this coming week, compassion for a complete stranger, or someone at work, or someone at home, perhaps someone sitting around you in a pew this very morning, and perhaps even compassion for yourself. Finding a balance between labor and rest can, in fact, help you and I to live and be the people that God has created us to be. And if someone were indeed to ask, "How's your summer going?" you might be able to respond, "You know, I have found a little rest." So pay attention to how you are doing in this crucial balancing act. Amen.